I'd like to read the this week's prayer list, prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Bill Barthel, Suzanne Diamandopoulos, Grace Howard Halberstadt, Kristen, Willa Kate McDowell, Mabel Cameron, Jeremy Schiffler, Buster the Cat, Raven the Cat. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Travis Boone, Brian and Brandy, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Sarai, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Kabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Venerable Lunduk Tendron, Venerable Ngawang Kando, Venerable Losam Kandro, Venerable Galton Drokar, Venerable Cherky Lamo, Venerable Dechen Drokar. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, Jerry Anderson and family, Jorge Aurelio, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcis Barona, Narcis Barona Sr., Bob, Susie Boehm, Yuki Burrows, family of Mabel Cameron, John Castlow, Betty Chow, Hedy Cranford, family of Suzanne Diamandopoulos, Ted Domi, Tashi Droma, Ryan Edmonds, Mary Lou Flynn, Taylor Freeman, Mildred Gooch, Pema Geltzen, Tracy Haas Thompson, family of Grace Halberstadt, Johanna Hamann, Kay Henderson, Christina Harrison, Annie Hassel, Kathy Hayashi, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Ray Claire Johnson, Dell and Sue Johnston, Barry Judge, Florence Kaplan, Helen Kasanoff, Jonathan Kramer, Carol Lang, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, Robin Lynn, R.M., Georgia McDonald and family, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Susan McClure, Kathy McDonald and family, family of Willa Kate McDowell, Elvia Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, Jason Miller, Colleen Mitchell and her baby, David Muller, Audrey Murphy, Stephanie Murphy, Evan Myrtle and family, Fran Nash, Jane Norton, Jessica Nunley, Marie Oliver, William Stover Oliver, Stanley Paluk, Jay Pandya, Anna Papard, Renee Reyna, Faye Renard, Ann Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, family of Jeremy Schiffler, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shaw, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Losam Toptem, Tian Washington, Amy Weiss, Shea Wokowicki, Margaret Young, Dorja and Kadro the Pigs, and Muffin the Cat. So when Geshe-la comes through the door, enters, we will stand out of respect for him and his teachings, and we'll say, when he sits down, we'll start with prayers. The first one is on page 34 in the Essential Buddhist Prayers book, and if you don't have that book in the white binder, it's the first. It's on the first page where it has prayer, prayers for the Kadamba Center. And those prayers in the white binder will be either on that page or on the back of the same page. Otherwise, I'll be prompting everyone with page numbers for the Essential Buddhist Prayers book. Turn to page 34 in the Gold Essential Buddhist Prayers book, and we'll chant the Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra, which is above the words daily prayers, the top of the page, three times. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. And now the four immeasurables in English. Just one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Turn the page to 37, and we'll chant the Four Measurable Chanting Version at the bottom of the page. And in the white binder, it's just the words by the music notes. Sentientam chedewadam There are two mantras, so let's chant Chenrezig's mantra, the Great Compassion, 8 times. And then Green Tower's mantra, the deity for enlightened activity, 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Only one. Good morning. Begin with a short meditation, okay? Short meditation.
Thank you.
Please, would you mind take one moment to introduce yourself to each other? Thank you very much. I'm very, very sorry to interrupt your very wonderful conversation, but we have limited time here. Last time I explained like 9-round breathing meditations. I think it's good to know, if you are interested in meditation, I think it's good to do this 9-round breathing meditations. It did not say, you know, it will reduce stress, but you know, so the question is, you know, if you think the stress is like form of, you know, negative energies that caused by, usually like also negative energies also caused by, you know, so like all kinds of thoughts or thinking, you know, that cause negative energy. So, so according to Vajrayana Buddhism, so every thought, you know, that comes with the energies, you know, you can't separate them. You cannot separate every thought, whether it's positive or negative, comes with the energies. So that energy can be very useful, or energy can be wasted, you know. So this 9-round breathing meditation is to how to get rid of, you know, negative energies that have been stuck into our channels. So, according to the Vajrayana teachings, you know, every movement that we do, blink, you know, all the movement, the breathing, all of them, you know, all the physical movement, everything, you know, that's through chakras, channel, energies. You know, five chakras, right? Not really know five chakras. Sometimes there's a six. According to Vajrayana teaching, there'll be five chakras. So then all the channels, you know, they merge from the chakras, you know. So there's like many, many channels. So this is where the energies, you know, like goes through all the energy, whether it's like useful, wasted, it goes through the channels. So the wasted energy also go through the channels, so they do get stuck. So then cause physical discomfort, okay? So then now this is all for the sake of knowledge. For the sake of knowledge. So that energy, negative, the wasted energy or imbalanced energy gets stuck in our channels. So do cause physical discomfort and then contribute to mental discomfort. So last Sunday, so this 9-round breathing meditation is to how to get rid of them. Maybe, not sure, maybe it will help to reduce the stress, maybe, I'm not sure. So you should try, and you can try and you can tell. So, how you do? So any breathing meditation is very, very important, you know, so to make sure that your back is straight, you know, your back is straight, okay? So it's something to do with the channels. So make sure that body is, you know, physically is comfortable, and not just body, also mind needs to be also, you know, how you say, settled. That's how the meditation has been done, you know. Comfortable physical posture, and you know, the best positive mind. Best is positive mind. If not, neutral. But the negative mind, we can meditate. So make sure that mind's positive or neutral. Okay, neutral. So then from there, so then you use your right hand. So a lot of you know, so I'm going to repeat this. And block your left nostril like this. Then inhale from here, right nostril, long, slow, all the way in, okay, long, slow. No, not like that, no. Long, slow. So then block. All the way out. Of course, need to clean the nose. Oh yeah. Then again, repeat this 3 times. Long, slow. First round, now second round, again the other hand, blow this nostril, then inhale, long, slow. Again. The second round, you know, each round there are 3 breathings, the second round. That's why I call 9 round breathing meditation. So now from both nostrils, inhale, exhale 3 times, okay? Yeah, that's called 9 round breathing meditation. So you can do that multiple times, you know, take break, then do so and see if that helps, you know, reduce some of the physical pains or caused by imbalanced energy or wasted energy. That's what that was stuck into our channels. So now second step, you know, how to balance the energy, how to make sure the energy is well balanced. So that requires that, you know, in order to balance the energy, first you need to balance the thought. Thought will balance. How you can do that, that's also important. So if you are interested in meditation, so otherwise, you know, just sit there, you know, like chicken. Then, you know, it's just sitting. It's not really meditation, it's just sitting there, you know. So, then how to balance now energy, you know, so that through, how is it, concentration. That's okay. There's nice music. When you look at the teaching of six perfections, the first one is the perfection of generosity. Jimba, professional ethics, professional patience, professional. George Perseverance, also another nice voice, nice as a noise. Profession of joy, persevering. Joyful effort, then concentrations, then wisdom. These are 6 professions. Jinbei long jie, no jinbei long jie. Practicing being kind, being generous. Being generous according to Buddha's teachings, Buddhism, according to Buddhism or Buddha's teachings. Being generous, no generous. The result will be more. As a longevity literally means wealth, you know. Being generous, you know, bring more wealth, that's the result, you know. Change it there, you know, practicing ethics, being, you know, living life with, you know, ethics, you know, pure ethics, you know, it brings higher rebirth. such as human rebirth, you know, because it has very high rebirth. So practicing patience, you know, and you become like attracted as a good looking attraction, not just doing everything, but you know, doing something positive, you know, something, but not just doing everything, you know, doing something positive that benefits you or benefits other people, and doing that with full of joy, you know, not happy to do, not just do, you know, happy to do. Not like as with happy mind, you know, not with all kind of minds, you know, happy to eat cheesecake, not with all kind of mindset. No, so happy to do, no, joyful effort. Joyful effort usually refers to do something positive, doing that happy mind, you know. Happy to talk, happy to go, happy to, you know, clean the house. Does that sound good? Probably not. happy to do, okay, joyful effort. The results, you know, doing things positive, things with happy mind, the result will produce as a mind stream. Your mental continuum will be calmer. Someday, so now that's the one I want to talk about. Someday, jishis. Someday, concentrations. Jishi makes your mind peaceful. That's all. That's why you concentrate. That means it will, when you concentrate, that's the way to balance the mind. Once you manage to balance the mind, focusing on certain object, that very mind will balance the energy, so that energy is considered is well balanced or useful. There will be positive impact on physical body, comfort. So that will contribute to mental comfort. So that's the way to first get rid of wasted energy, imbalanced energy, so then to learn how to balance the energy, so concentrate. So usually, you know, like easiest way you can do is like just watch your breath, you know, 21 times. Breathing out, breathing in, 1. Breathing out, breathing in, 2. Each time when you breathe in, you count. Inhale, you count. Exhale, inhale, 1. Exhale, inhale, there's 2. You just count in your mind. You know, then you do that 7 times. Then 7 more times. Then 7 more times. 21 times. You do that 21 times. So see if that makes your mind peaceful. So according to Asian teachings, that's how they make their mind peaceful, you know. Or not necessarily eating something, or maybe, you know, drinking something, or not like that, you know. So that's how they try to make their mind peaceful, Sandhya. So now you can use 21 breathing meditations, exhale, inhale, or you can visualize something, you can visualize. that object needs to be single, just one. You can't just think. That's how energy becomes imbalanced, thinking like 100 different things in the same time. So then each thought does not have any energy, because energy is like, so many little creeks running around. If you manage to pull all this together, it will be much stronger, you know. It flows much better, stronger like that. So that concentration, to learn how to concentrate. You can use like physical movement, but It's very important. No, nobody tells us to do meditation, nobody. But what they say, if you meditate, there will be a lot of benefits. Oh, it's totally up to us. We don't have to meditate, no. Why we have to meditate? But, no, if you are interested, no, so then when you do, better to do it well. Other than, you know, it's just a waste of time. Better to sleep, much better, you know. Oh, so, probably I'm happy that a lot of people are probably going out today. Usually centers are packed, you can hardly breathe. So now weather is so beautiful, people are enjoying, that's good things, you know, you just enjoy, you know? That's good things. So then you can move around, you know, introduce each other, so usually it's all packed. You can, you know, use object, you know, it can be anything. It can be flower, it can be waterfall, it has to be one. You know, it can be multiple objects, so then that's how the energy gets imbalanced. Oh? So it has to be one. So you can just concentrate, you know, concentrate. You know. First, of course, you have to first look. So then you're not trying to see the object from your eye, but you're trying to see from your mind. Or maybe, you know, if you remember some kind of material by heart, you know, that's typically monastery what we do, like, you know, they remember by heart, like, oh, like 100 and 100 pages, you know, they memorize, they remember that. So they just sit there, you know, they go through that, you know, text. So they just, you know, call, like, review meditations. Also, then sometimes they can do analytical meditations. They just sit there, but their mind is very active. It's not just not active, inactive, you know, so mind. So meditation means we have to think, you know, so otherwise, you know, it is going to become, I'm worried it's going to become like chicken meditations, you know, if you don't think. So, people say, oh, just sit there, think nothing. Easy to say, how you can think nothing, you know. Even if you think, oh, I'm now thinking nothing, you are still thinking. So, way to get rid of thought, we have to think, not just think with the full attention. No, like you can't just wander. When you meditate, make sure, you know, that your whole attention is there, 100% there, you know, whether you're moving your physical body, or whether you're doing walking meditations or breathing meditations, make sure we are all capable to pull all our energy into one single object. We are all capable. Don't ever think that you are not capable. We are all capable to do that, you know. But practice, you know? No practice, no results, right? Yeah, so even the physical body, you know, if you don't exercise, there will be no results. You can just sit and say, okay, just sit there, oh, I'm going to Ananda Shili Lake, oh, there's one round, now there's two rounds. It's not really two rounds, it's not even one round, it's just sitting there, just think, you know, so it's like that, it's going to be like that. So if you physically go there, then there is a 2 mile, 4 mile, yeah, then you do something to rejoice. Oh, I did walk 4 miles today, something to rejoice. Oh. Same, you know, physical required practice, mind same required, you know, exercise, you know. So meditation is a part of that. No? So for beginner, you know, beginner short period, multiple time is very important, skillful way, short. When you become experienced, then feel long. That's how the medicine is done. Okay? So that's that. So like how to balance energy and balanced thought, concentrate, that's all, concentrate. You can use your own breath, you can use an object, color, sound, you can focus on your mind, that's very difficult because it doesn't have shape and color, it's very difficult but you can do, but this is a very difficult one. Or you can concentrate on your physical sensations, so Lutamanija, that's also, I think, you're placing all your attentions, placing very closely on physical body, means moving your hand. Make sure 100% sure that you are 100% attention there. So then it's going to be a good one, okay? And one important thing, okay, is to remember or remind yourself the purpose. The purpose of meditation is to reduce disturbing thought. Less disturbing thought, life is going to be better off, you know. Whether you're believing in something, not believing in something, believing in something or not believing in something. So, the whole point is, comes down, think something positive. Oh, I'm very, very happy because I can breathe, I can see, I can hear, I can walk around. Oh, I don't need to worry that somebody going to bomb on my house. There's so many reasons to be happy. At the same time, there's probably 1,000 different reasons to be unhappy. So, I've been asking this question to myself, how often I said verbally, I'm so happy. How often I say I'm not happy? Yeah, probably many times. So it's very important, I'm not sure in English you say that or not, So in Tibetan we say, Nasambakyu means my mind is not happy. But in English, do you say? Yeah, so in Tibetan we do say, sometimes, oh, there's nothing wrong with the physical, but you say, oh, my mind is not happy, very direct, my mind is not happy. Oh, today my mind is so happy, You said that, something. So that can produce by thinking, okay, So that's, just want to share that with you, so how to, the purpose of meditation, is to reduce disturbing thought. That's the last thing that we need. If we are truly seeking happiness, we need more positive thought, more positive thinking. Life is going to be much, much better off. So with that, so then there's one question that I'm going to read, so then you can probably contribute. Participate, okay. And your contribution is highly requested. So first, I thought there's more questions. It's all been read. Is there a collective karma? Karma is no action. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just action. Verbal action, physical action, mental actions. That's what is karma. So now the question is, do we do certain things as a group? Yes or no? That is collective karma. So groups always do something positive? They do positive things, they do negative things. So that's like collective karma. In Tibetan it's called Chitin means like so many people participated. That's karma. There is collective karma, so there's that. So second one and third one is kind of complicated. So first I choose the second one here. Both questions are equally difficult. So let this come fast, I'll feed this one. Why is it so difficult for us to forgive others? Forgive others? How do we forgive? I have experience, but you have experience, each one of us, experience. Not our life has been perfect, So our life has been like up and down. Why is it so difficult for us to forget others? Maybe first you contribute, then maybe later I will probably say a few things. So, yeah, please do.
Is it pride and ego? Why it's so hard? Because of our own pride and ego, probably.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's a good one. That's a very good one. So then more contributions. No pressure. If you don't understand, so... Oh, you can be generous. Give me some bread.
We don't have the habit of doing it. We don't have the habit of doing it. You just have to have the habit of doing something to make it easier, and we have less habit of forgiving than we have of not forgiving.
Please say so. Then when I start to talk, you may not get any opportunity. So I really talk.
I mean, one of my things was if I was a victim of someone else's action, I didn't have to look at my part in it, and I wasn't responsible for the negative of it. I had to make a shift in my life that what happens around me is my responsibility. And when I was a victim, it was easier to say, point fingers and not forgive. Once you claim...
More related to being victims of someone else's actions than hard to forget, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it kind of ties. If they're responsible and not me, then I don't have to, it's hard, easier. If I'm responsible too, it's easier to forgive them than if it's just their problem,
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention real quick, some of us have a bigger problem forgiving ourselves than others. I have a very easy time forgiving just about anyone for anything, but when it's me, I might say I forgive myself, but I beat myself up forever. It's harder for myself. Or people close to me, too, because they're almost like an extension of me. Like if it was my own child, then I'd feel like that was my fault that I taught them that. Or my own husband, because he's sort of like a part of me, almost. So I have a lot harder time with that than with strangers. Myself is the worst. But I don't know who else is like that.
So, she actually made me, I'm very interested to hear what you think about that, Geshe-la, the forgiving yourself, because the forgiving other people, which is very difficult, my thought is it has to do with one's understanding of karma. And if you have the more you understand karma at a very deep level, I think the easier it is to forgive people. But having said that, how do you, karma makes sense to me, but not in looking at how do you forgive yourself when you do something wrong, because that's a bit of a struggle as well.
Very good, yeah.
So I've been lately trying to look at things from my own experience and really trying to kind of dissect some of those things. And there's been some things that's happened in my life in the past year that I've really kind of looked at. And it's very easy for me to forgive someone that may have stepped on my toe or cut me off in traffic or, something like that. But when it comes to matters of grave emotional things of the heart and someone like hurts my heart, it's so hard for me to forgive. And this is a really good topic because I do think it's like, a basis of maybe karma, some karmic imprint, coming from a mind of ignorance, not understanding the laws and things of impermanence, because everything is impermanent, like your teaching last Sunday. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that. I started thinking about that a lot recently, and impermanence has been a thing that keeps coming up more and more and more. Mm-hmm. is that everything's impermanent, and maybe someone harmed me in the past and it's kind of coming back into fruition again in my life now. And you know, where I've set the kind of the ball rolling with these situations, but it's so deeply ingrained in me not to forgive someone when it comes to like, my heart or things that are really like close and personal to me. But it's, I guess, like Jill was saying, like a matter of changing those habits. But, it's a very interesting topic, but I really think it has to deal with the karma and not understanding, like having that ignorant mindset, not really understanding like impermanence and some of those things. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thanks.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
So I have my experience is that when I'm not forgiving, I'm getting stuck in the script. And what I think, then I get trapped by it. And this, I've painted a picture for myself and I'm living in it. It's a very two-dimensional life.
Mm.
And then I realize that you have to let go. You flow as a being, as a person, and this is just a shell. And when you don't forgive, you start defending an empty space. And there's nothing there. There's just a two-dimensional script. And I want to move on, to be more than that, to just allow life to flow. And I'm free to be whoever I want. And when you forgive, you really restore the peace you have within yourself. And you release all that, the person, and they're free to be who they are. And I release me, and I'm free. So that, for me, is forgiveness. And I think that's a fantastic reason to forgive, because you are free.
Mm. How long it takes? How long?
That, my dear,
huh?
Some days I have it, and I feel it. And the more I practice it, the easier it is to get to. But it really, I do think it's true. It's a habit, and I think it's very personal. It depends on, you know, what happened. It depends on who you are. You know, we all carry things differently. I think we have to find our own answer for that. But ultimately, it's an empty space, because you're just holding on to something that's gone. It's already gone. And your choice to hold on to it is keeping you kind of in this trapped pain, not like window pane. You're trapped in a window pane, and it's more important to live.
You mean the object is gone?
The incident, the events, the circumstances.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone already. And it's important to grieve. I do think it's important to grieve, because when you've been hurt or you feel injured, you need to acknowledge it. You need to say, this feels bad, I don't like it. You need to listen to yourself, but then eventually you need to kind of let go of what choices you made that got you to the injury, because you have responsibility in it. And you also have to let go of, you know, we're all just doing, you know, that person, oh my God, big red X on them with a band mark and a target and all that stuff you throw at them. But ultimately, you release them, and it's important to release them. It's gone. It's over. You know, so...
How you release them?
Forgiveness. And just say, you know, there are so many things that somebody can be upset about. But then you look around and, you know, you hear somebody else's pain and you realize, I'm grateful for the little problem I have or whatever. You know, you have to come back to, there's much to be grateful for.
Mm.
And get over it. You know, like at some point you just kind of go, this is ridiculous. You have to let go. You just have to move on. Because it's not life. That's not living. That's a trap. So, or whatever.
Oh, wonderful.
I think rather than say what makes it hard to forgive, I'll talk about what makes it possible to forgive, what we can engage to make it possible to forgive. And one of them, I think it's really easy when we're hurt by someone else to stop seeing that person as a person, to stop having empathy for them, to stop seeing that just like me, that person has, you know, problems and disturbing thoughts and you know, gets tired or gets frustrated or whatever. Is, you know, so if you can see that person as a person and not as some big entity, impersonal entity that hurt, but rather as a person who acted out of their own fear and pain and suffering, and see that and engage some compassion, engage some empathy with them, then it becomes a lot easier to forgive, because then you see, well, I need to be forgiven for a lot of things too, and so this person is just like me and has their suffering that, you know, caused whatever it was that made them do it, and so forgive them because you understand that they're going through the same difficulties.
Very good, yeah.
I think it comes down to expectations as well. I mean, if we have this expectation that we're going to change the world or change the way other people behave, and then they do you wrong, when you forgive them easily, you just kind of let them off the hook. And then you think, well, you know what? I'm kind of making it easy for them to behave like this again. And matters of the heart in particular, that's a real hard thing to forgive.
Yeah.
You're trying to help people understand what they did to you. And then you just say, well, you know, I'm sorry. Well, they're going to do it again. People, you know, cut you off in the road. I think, oh, come on, people, do you have to behave like that, really? Obviously, you can't say, I'm sorry. That, to me, it's just expectations. If you don't have the expectation that you're going to change everybody else around you and make them behave the way you want to, then it's really easy to forgive, much easier anyway.
Yeah, wonderful, very good.
Well, I think it's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. But when we are saying we need to forgive, in certain way, not make sense. Because, you see, forgive for what? If we are hurt, the only person who could hurt us is ourselves. So if we are allowing ourselves to be hurt, if not, we control. So whatever the people are saying, it depends on us to be hurt or not. So the question is, if I am not hurting because I am not allowed to be hurt, so the question is, the person who is saying that, what is my reaction for these words that the intention was to hurt, but I am stopping that? So I think it's more on compassion for the people who are saying things with the intention to hurt. But I don't understand why forgive someone if I am in control to be hurt. Just so.
Shankar, you want to say? You're holding the mic. Yeah, please do.
So I asked one time, I'd like to forgive this person who is, you know, a family member, and they just really treat me like they hold me in very low regard, and it keeps hurting me again and again and again, but they're a family member, what am I supposed to do? But I know that I should be, you know, have approaching it with the equanimity, and I should just be okay. Unfortunately, some person in somewhere at FPMT somewhere said, okay, you're not a bodhisattva yet. And so actually at your level, you know, you don't have to stay around somebody who keeps really hurting you. Maybe one day you'll be able to just do what you turn the other cheek and do it with complete compassion and equanimity. It's just that you're not there yet. And so it's okay to take yourself out of the situation, and maybe start with a 5-pound weight instead of trying to lift a 100-pound weight. That, they said, that is okay. And so that helped me a lot. that helped me a lot. You know, it's where I am on the path. I'm not ready to have to keep going back in that very, very, you know, and I don't, if I'm putting myself there, there is a little bit of choosing to be the victim in there. And I just really, I found that very, very important for me. I'm not a bodhisattva yet, so I don't need to pretend like I can act on that level. So.
I was going to point out one aspect or one perspective on forgiveness that helps me personally in my experience is kind of the, I guess I've heard a lot from different Buddhist philosophy in regard to perspectives on time, so like past and right now, and then the future. And really, the only thing that's existing is right here, right now. So when I think about something in the past, or someone in the past, and they did me wrong, or blah, 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 I just kind of, like, think about, you know, that from a third party, like, oh, Tristan's sad about X because X did that to him at this time in the past. And then looking at it that way, it's kind of, like, easier to let it go, because it's, A, already gone, like, in time. It's already in the past, so it actually is literally not existing anymore. And then on top of that, in the present, you know, if I am trying to learn and grow as a spiritual person, chances are if it's like producing a negative effect, like if I think about someone and every time I think about them, I have to like get drunk or, you know, cut myself or whatever it is. There's a lot of people out there that do crazy things. And so, you know, if it produces that effect, it's a real hindrance. So I guess really that's not really how most people would react, but in regard to people who do have a tendency to act out of either suffering in their past or present, even though most likely it's in the past, even if it's 5 seconds in the past, it's really beneficial to just think of each present moment as the only real thing at all. So it's like all the pain and all the suffering and confusion and stuff, the only reason it feels apparent in your present is because you accessed that memory from the past. So it's hard to train your mind to reject past experiences in your mind because they help shape your current perspective. But I think it's beneficial to kind of look at time, look at the past, you know, remember it and cherish it and then, you know, learn from it. But then really, in learning Buddhism, I've found the most crucial aspect to be present in the moment. And if you're really present in the moment, past afflictions and past anything has absolutely no effect on your mind unless you let it. And then in that case, it's a noticing, oh, I'm still letting that thing I did in the past affects what I'm doing right now. And then it's just saying, okay, well, how can I, you know, not do that? And so that helps me a lot. But it is very hard to keep that up, like, every moment, because our understanding of time is very much based on reflecting on the past and not being completely in this moment.
Good. Wonderful. Yeah.
I wanted to address a little bit the idea of forgiving yourself. I think that too many of us have too high of an expectation or standards for ourselves. We think that we should never say an unkind word or a stupid thing or never do something wrong. And so when we do, we just say, oh, I must be a really bad person. And it just really, we have to understand that we're just as human and have as much compassion for ourselves as we would have for somebody else. And that when we act what we think is below the standard we set for ourselves, we just need to remember, hey, you know, I made a mistake. I don't like what I said today, so maybe that will help me remember not to say it tomorrow. And if we slip, just say, well, we slipped, and then try it better the next day. But we just can't expect ourselves to be perfect, because as you say, Geshe-la, we can't expect to be perfect in samsara, mm-hmm. or we wouldn't be in samsara, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, too, with people that are close to us, we hold them to some standards that are not our, that we expect them to have the same standards and behaviors that we want for ourselves. And we have to remember that they're a separate person, and also to be, have compassion toward them and know that they're going through the same struggle that we are, to try to be a little better every day.
So Geshe-la, I wasn't going to say anything because Donna had said what I was going to say, but then... Because she went ahead in front of before me, but anyway, it's okay. But I think she, you know, what she said was really important. That, you know, I mean, forgiveness requires that we put ourselves in the shoes of the other person, right? So we have to have some sense of compassion for that person to see, you know, how would we do? What would we do if we were in their shoes, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe have a sense of, and maybe we would do better, you know, it's possible. But to see the other as still as flawed and deluded as we are, right? And I think that, you know, Buddhism, we tend to become very theoretical about the I and the so forth and so on and karma and et cetera, right? We kind of think in the ether, you know, up there somewhere, yeah, there's karma, but we really don't bring it inside. And I think through really true study and practice, I've found that, you know, you can see how when you aren't able to forgive and you're holding on to the you know, the negative emotion, you can see how you are feeding the I. You know, you are constantly feeding the I to make it be better, or rather be bigger, right? And that's, I think, the source of the problem, right? We're not able to feel compassion towards the other person because we are constantly trying to make ourselves look and feel better, right? We are superior. Let's say we are justifiably angry, right? And so I think over time, if one practices, one can find the space between the action that the other person does and the feeling that arises, right? The anger that arises. And so one, in a way, you know, the forgiveness becomes easier because you see the I arising. So, you know, and I think that's when it really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I'd like to contribute another question.
Another question.
Question.
Okay.
So, whether you're, you know, on your forgiveness journey towards yourself or towards another, at least in my experience, I have believed in my heart and soul that I have forgiven. But then sometime later, I'll realize something will arise again, and I'll realize that I, in fact, did not. I'm still holding on to some of that negativity. So what is the key indicator that really you know that you have totally forgiven?
Did it take 2 years to answer the question?
So I think that actually it goes along with the rest of the question on something that wasn't actually brought up. And I think that forgiveness really goes along with vulnerability, and that it's easy to forgive someone who you're not, you know, there's no relation. If somebody bumps into you on a subway or bus or something, you're not going to ever see that person again. It's easy to forgive them, right? Mm-hmm. You're not connected in any way. But if you have a relationship, if you're, mm-hmm. you know, if it's family or a spouse or a loved one or something, these are not isolated events, right? This is not, you made yourself purposely vulnerable to that person's actions and their thoughts. And to forgive, it's easy, not forgiving is building a wall between you and that person, but to forgive means you have to put yourself in a position that they can hurt you again. And that's the hard part. That's why forgiveness is hard, because you have to let go of this anger that's keeping you safe from future harm. And I think that's what happens when if you have this well of non-forgiveness, of anger over the event or something like that, that's there, you know, it's easy to reopen that when something happens. Because, you know, some of these relationships, you're in a relationship for years and years, and it's not like it's one event in the past that you can just say, oh, well, I forgive that, that's fine. You know, these are people, you know, the more, not attached, but connected to a person you are, the harder it is to forgive them because of that vulnerability aspect.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Very good.
In my experience, when I had a long relationship, 24 years of marriage, and then the divorce a couple of times, tried to divorce me twice, and the second time I did it. Anyway, the clue for me was that for full forgiveness, was that when I saw my ex-husband again and his wife, those thoughts never come up. And when I, afterwards, you know, there was no thoughts of any of that experience come up at all. It was like it fell into some kind of black hole. It's just no, it's not that, you know, that you blocked it. But it's just that you forgave and you let it go and it just doesn't come up anymore. And you just go on, you know, as someone said, you go on with your life. So when, you know, I see the couple, then, you know, they're doing very, very well, you know, very wealthy, much wealthier now. And so you don't have to worry about them anymore. You know, you don't have to pray for them. They're doing very well. They're happy. So, and then, you don't even think about it. So now, you know, we're family. I invited them to come over for Christmas. You know, it's just complete forgiveness. You don't have those thoughts anymore at all. You know, you might remember, you know, something might pop up. You remember, oh, you know, you did this to me, you know, and then, you know, that wasn't very nice, but then just immediately goes away because it was something that just happened in the past. It's not something that I even have to work on. It just disappeared, you know. So I think that's forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry to double dip, but something you two said really hit me. One thing is, I think that forgiveness is kind of like a spiral, especially if you have someone who's been part of your life for a long time. You do it at this level, you think you're okay, and then something triggers it, because experiences are all connected, and it hits that original wound again. But the next time you tend to it, it's not so deep and it's not so painful, and it gets better slowly with time. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the indicators, and this has to do with the collective karma, one of the indicators that you've let it go is that you start attracting people who don't have the same wounds as you do. They've gotten better. You attract this is just a theory of mine, and it's just this idea of you've grown past that karma in that now you have people who are healthier, happier, they're not tied to that pain or that cycle of hurt and forgiveness, you know, like that, whatever that thing that was spinning that you all share, that you were bound by that wound. You have people who are, that's what my guess, that's what my theory, bit of my experience is, you start attracting healthier people because you've forgiven. You're not clenching. We're all not clenching. You know, your head is up and you're walking happier.
Mm. Yeah, very good, wonderful.
To talk about the young lady's question, I think if you see the other person's pain, if you're able to do that, then you have moved on. Rather than saying, oh, they're doing that again. Maybe I sometimes can say, oh, they must be so unhappy to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. We we've been talking about people who are in our lives currently, but I have had to work on forgiving people who have passed in this life but have affected me so negatively. And something was said one day in one of these classes, and it made me realize that I needed to do this for myself, not for anyone else. So I actually spent like 2 weeks just talking to this one particular person over and over again in my mind and telling them I'm forgiving them because it's for me. It's not for them, it's for me. And I want to, and I'm forgiving them from my heart. And to me it worked better that I didn't make any excuses. I understand this is why you did what you did to me. It didn't work for me. I just had to say, I'm forgiving you because I want to be a happier person. And I worked on this and worked on this with one particular person. And all of a sudden, one day, it just hit me and I smiled. And I said, it's over. I forgive you. So I think it just requires a lot of work.
I just want to touch on somebody earlier said, had concerns about forgiving somebody and that being the same as saying what you did is okay. And I think they're not the same. And in fact, real forgiveness means saying, you know, what you did was harmful. I don't approve of it, but I forgive. So it's not kind of giving them carte blanche to go ahead and do whatever. It's saying this was wrong and this was harmful, but I forgive.
Mm-hmm. Well said, well said. Thank you very much for each one of you contributing. That's wonderful, yeah. So did we learn something? Yeah, that's very good. Wonderful teachings. Yeah, very, yeah. So, yeah, that's good. I'm more than happy to lose it. More than happy to lose my job. Then I can sleep. thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. That's wonderful, you know. Very good. So, nothing to say. Yeah? Nothing to really say. Yeah, it's hard. That's what I'm going to say. It's hard, you know, forgiving somebody, especially when you have a relationship, you know, like your friends, you know. it, you know, requires a lot of thinking. It requires a lot of thinking. It's not just, you know, easy to say, forgive, but, you know, it's hard. It's hard, you know, so. And, yeah, it requires a lot of different kind of thinking, you know, like thinking about karma, thinking about impermanence, thinking about, you know, compassion, thinking about the nature of samsara, you know. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has a problem. Everybody has a problem. Everybody, you know, including myself. Everybody has a problem. So life is, you know, like, it's precious, but at the same time, it's complicated. It's complicated and precious human life, you know. Not because of physical body, because of mind. It makes it very complicated. So, we try all our best, you know, so we can't give up. We can't give up, we have to try. So, yeah, if the thinking about karma, if that helps you to let it go, maybe thinking about impermanence, if that helps you to let it go, if you're thinking about, you know, like, it's not just, you know, like, it's not just happened this time, it's happened many times, probably thinking that way, if that helps, you know. Oh, life has no beginning. Some people have a lot of problems. Or thinking, oh, life has no beginning. If there's no beginning, all kinds of things happen. Many times happen. It's not just first time it's happening. So, you know, all everything, all important things that you said, you know, thinking about karma, impermanent, these are very, very helpful, you know. So then, creating space, you know, taking breaks. So, and if you can avoid object, so for a beginner, it's much, much successful avoiding objects. So that means same as like creating space or taking break, rather than sticking with the object and try to apply antidote. That's going to be hardest. Somebody died 10 days ago, you tried to bring them life. It's going to be hardest, that one. So, I think over the course of time, yeah, forgiveness will definitely happen. But it takes time. It takes, you know, so like that you say, like, it's kind of ridiculous, painfully ridiculous. No, it's like, first you just, in the initial stage, you don't want to see that person near you, you know, so that much has ill will that you are hosting. So then maybe over the course of time, so then, you know, you don't mind to see that person, but not, you know, with full of happiness, but, you know, don't mind to see that person around. So then slowly, you know, so maybe that, you know, that when you say may all sentient things, maybe you are thinking of that person too, and you wish them to also have happiness. So it requires a lot of thinking, you know, it's not easy. So as I quoted last Sunday, to this dear friend, you know, very, very dear, almost you can tell everything that you know. You can be normal, you can be in front of that person. Very close friend, Tietari Yutubaya, one of the Kadama Master said. So, you know, things happen in your life. So, you thought they're your friend, and turns out they turn against you, and you have no idea why they turn against you. You don't have, not just, you know, like, there's a reason, but I pretend not to know those reasons. It's not like that. You really, sincerely, you have no reason why those people turn against you. You don't see have any reason but these people turn against you. Maybe so. Things happen, you know. Things happen in our life. So to this dear friend, the few unguarded words, then you we exaggerated. Then you exaggerated, you know. So the sunny tomorrow become worst enemy. Friend, you know, it's like friend become enemy, enemy become friend, stranger become friend. It's not like 100% friend or 100% enemy. It changed, you know, it changed, perception changed, everything changed. So maybe, in my case, when I have problems, I heavily rely on books, and I read books, I share those books, and I keep thinking, you know, as I said, beginning is not easy. Over the course of time, eventually, you know, so don't mind to see that person around, and don't mind to meet that person if that person wants to meet with you, and you do know in the back of your mind what that person did to you, A to Z. It's not like memory fade away, memory is very vivid. But you don't mind to see that person, sit down with that person, talk. So, you know, it's hard, but we cannot give up. So bottom line, like, you know, holding any ill feel, do it for yourself, you know, forgiveness for yourself, to move on, to heal, forgiveness for yourself, it's not judgment message, it's not for other persons, you know, she said, not for us, for you, you know, so then basically it's just empty space, you're just holding on, the person's gone, so no object is gone. So, thinking of nature of samsara, impermanent, karma, bodhicitta, loving kindness, compassion, these are the tools that will definitely help us to move on. We have to have something to move on. You know, you can just say, move on. You need to think. This requires a lot of, it takes time, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, thinking. It takes a lot of thinking on. So then eventually, what Shanti Deva said, I think like the Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, if you read, you know, there, Jawaharlal Nehru's all the fault will disappear. All the people we call as enemy, they will be disappeared. You will be disappeared, you are going to be disappeared, everything will be disappeared. That's the reality. Whatever we do, whatever we do now, whatever we're going to do in the future, in one point it's all become memory. All become memory. It just become memory. Second line, forgot the second line. It's going to be like, you know, dreams. So we have all kinds of dreams. How many dreams that you had, you know, I had, all kinds of dreams. When you wake up, it just become memory. Everything we did in our life or dream now, going to do in the future, it's become like, you know, like exactly like dreams. You know, so when you wake up, it becomes like memory. Deva Tamja Tomi, you know. So then you will not actually see past. It's all the past you don't see. Who said that? Shantideva said that. You know, so they're repeating those words. It's kind of like, you know, like liberating. You know, so that you are in the pain. Not just pain, you know, but some cases, like, big pain, you know. So then you think about those words, it's kind of, momentarily, kind of liberates. Oh, you know, so if that's the case, you know, everything will disappear, everything that we did is going to become a memory, like a dream. So then past is not going to, you are not going to see them, it's all the past. So rely on a message of what you call this, kind of like therapy. Kind of like, you know, self-therapy, you know. So, then, also like, need to learn how to purify. So, I think like, the Christian church, she's talking about self-forgiveness. So, it's a big challenge in the West. But probably it's a challenge in the East, but people don't say. Doesn't mean they don't, like, have no problem forgiving themselves, but they don't say, you know. So, here in the West, people say too many words. East, people say few words. So, anyway, I think the purification, just one reason that you don't like yourself because of, you know, you are so kind, not because of that. But because you remember doing something wrong or something like that. It's very important. Samsara, nobody is perfect. Everybody has problems. Everybody. No matter how you look, how you dress, what kind of position you hold, what kind of education you hold, from president to newborn child. In samsara, everybody has problems. Everybody. So it's very important. Profession, according to Buddhism, is nirvana. There's a profession. Here, there's no profession. Everybody made mistake. So the reason I'm saying this, like purifications, you know, I think it will help you to not look down on yourself. Wrongdoing, the wrong deed, whatever that holding you down. It's like aluminium, round. When you throw in the water, it will sink. Let's say that's like misdeed. If you flat them, if you make it flat, throw in the water, it will not fall. It will not sink. It will flow. What they're saying is saying like, if somebody who knows how to purify, you are not going to sink with your misdeed. In the oceans, you can be still flow. If you don't know how to purify and you just sit there, think something negative out of negative mind, then doing nothing. No, you think about something negative out of positive mind, then you do something positive, then you will not sin. the flow, you know. So therefore, I was a purification practice. You think about something misdeed out of positive minds, or thinking about laundry, you know, like with the mind that you want to clean them, then there's some benefit, more like you'll clean, right? But thinking about laundry all the time doesn't help. You know, so it does help when you're about to do some laundry, then it helps because more like it's going to be clean, like that. So it requires, it requires a lot of thinking, it requires a lot of, there's no easy answer, So, and thank you very much for all your contributions. So please, continuously participate. Everybody get benefit, including myself. It's wonderful. So then it's going to be wonderful class, you know? Rather than just making Mouse talk. Then they're saying, like, been talking last 17 years, talking. So now you participate, that's good, and everybody likes here, you know. Good. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend. Oh, thank you.
Cindy Goldberg.
This question, whoever wrote this question, this very wonderful question, person, is about emptiness. So, next Sunday, we'll discuss.
The Essential Buddhist Prayers Book, turn to page 246. 246. And we'll read the dedication from Master Shantideva's Bodhikaryavatara. Just his dedication on the back of the sheet in the white binder. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.
Good morning, everyone. Just have a few announcements. We are trying to email a lot less. Don and I both are doing that. And so we wanted to just, I thought maybe I'd let you know to check more on this week and the website. We have a lot of banners that we put up all the time. So I've noticed for some people, if you have Gmail accounts, they go to a promotion box. So I thought I'd just kind of put that out there, that if you aren't getting it, to tell me, because that's how we communicate most everything now. So just, I kind of hear things on the street and think, oh, they're not getting that, they're not getting this. So let me know if you don't get it. And if you're new and you'd like to sign up for it, it's on the concierge desk out in the lobby. That's just a once-a-week email. Through our system, we send out emails and reminders of events that are happening. So a couple things that we're not going to email about anymore might be things like, say, there's a grounds day coming up next Saturday. So kind of asking you guys to check in and see what's happening. So that'll be next Saturday from 9 to 12. I think that's mostly planting. They've been cleaning, so now I think they're going to plant, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's really going to be a nice one. That's a fun grounds day. So thanks for all the people who've done all the work ahead of time. There's a new member orientation today. Steve Hale is right here. So he will meet you. Do you want to meet in the Gompa or out on the table?
Start here.
Who knows where you'll go from there. And then could use a few more handy helpers. So until we have the facility manager, I'm just sort of running a list. I put it in a Google Sheet so I can share it with you, and then you can just
whatever you want to do, you can pick off the list and come in while I'm working here, and we'll together figure it out. So you can sign up for that outside on our communication wall. And we still have lunch bunch going on. It's not really happening, but I'm here if anybody wants to come eat every Friday from 12 to 1, unless there's a puja later. And then there's one little position that might be fun if somebody wanted it. Craig could use a little help if you came in like on Friday while I was working here and got everything ready for Sunday, just filling up the water, cleaning up the cushions. It's a very light job. So if you wanted to share it, then just coming in and helping things get fresh for Sunday morning. So just let me know if that sounds interesting to you. And Donna Heaven.
So at the beginning of the teachings this morning, Geshla mentioned the six perfections. And these are a distillation of all the thousand deeds of a bodhisattva. And so it's really beneficial to be thinking about the six perfections and how to perfect them in ourselves. And Geshla is very kindly going to be leading a weekend retreat meditating on the six perfections. And it's been quite some time since we've had a weekend retreat with Geshla, so this is really special. And this is going to be out at Nolan's Farm in Alamance County. It's at the end of this month, April 28th to 30th. And you do need to register for it because Nolan has a very small Gompa. We can only accommodate about 25 people. And you can register for it by going to either our calendar and look for that weekend and click on the retreat there, and that'll get you to the page. Or if you go to the home page and click on the banner for the retreat, that'll get you there too. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful weekend.